KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up.
If only the nation had followed our state's example.
220,000 would be alive.
I'm Corwin Hake. The argument against reopening.
A major government spending proposal from Republicans. I'm Jeff Poggiola with the story.
Plus traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours. Sports and your money news too. Live now to ABC News.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. On the eve of the inauguration, President-elect Joe Biden, now in Washington, D.C., earlier in an emotional farewell in his home state of Delaware, Biden acknowledged the dark days enveloping the nation with the pandemic and also the recent violent siege at the U.S. Capitol. He also recalled the history and progress that's unfolding.
12 years ago, I was waiting at the train station in Wilmington for a black man to pick me up on our way to Washington, where we were sworn in as President and Vice President of the United States of America. And here we are today, my family and I, about to return to Washington to meet a black woman of South Asian descent, to be sworn in as President and Vice President of the United States.
Tonight, with unprecedented security in place, Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will attend a memorial for the Americans who have lost their lives in this pandemic, a death toll as of today topping 400,000. President Trump will not participate in the transition of power ceremony. The White House today, though, releasing a farewell message where the president recognized the new administration.
We extend our best wishes, and we also want them to have luck. A very important word.
The president will leave the White House tomorrow morning. There are more arrests and charges stemming from the mob of Trump supporters that stormed the Capitol. They include a former Marine from Texas.
The FBI said Ryan Nichols and Alex Harkrider posted photos of themselves at the Capitol January 6th, along with messages calling for the violent overthrow of the government. Nichols, a former Marine, was allegedly heard yelling to the crowd, "If you have a weapon, you need to get your weapon." And this is the second revolution. This is not a peaceful protest.
ABC's Aaron Kutursky reporting from Washington. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good afternoon. It's 2:02. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. Public health remains in a very precarious place. That's the message from the State Health Department today as pressure increases to reopen the economy faster than the current plan. More from KOMO's Corwin Hake.
When Lacey Fehrenbach with the Department of Health hears the calls to resume indoor dining because businesses are suffering, she is sympathetic.
I do recognize this is hard. We recognize this is so hard.
But the Assistant Secretary for COVID Response says Washington is walking a very fine line. COVID cases are down lately, and yet
our case rates are among the highest they've been over the year of the pandemic.
She believes strongly Washington is handling this crisis the right way.
If the U.S. had followed a model like ours or had a similar death rate, 220,000 people would be alive in the United States today that are not.
A new state Senate bill calls for immediate reopening of restaurants, theaters, and more at 25% capacity. Corwin Hake, KOMO News.
All teachers vaccinated by March and a significant use of the state's rainy day fund. Republicans in Olympia are proposing some aggressive actions to fight the pandemic and economic collapse. More from KOMO's Jeff Poggiola.
As lawmakers try to hammer out a deal that will help everyone affected by COVID, Republican Drew Stokesbury is floating the idea of spending the rainy day fund on rental assistance, aid to businesses, and unemployment relief.
We guard that fund quite jealously and judiciously, and for good reason, because it's money that's only available once. But I struggle to imagine a time in which it's pouring more than it is right now.
State money would also be used for an aggressive vaccination plan aimed at reopening public schools. Jeff Poggiola, KOMO News.
The Space Needle and hundreds of other landmarks will join a nationwide memorial tonight to honor those who've died during the pandemic. Today, it was 400,000, that number that we crossed of Americans dead from COVID-19. The buildings are going to be lit in an amber color to represent candles. The memorial is part of the upcoming inauguration for the Biden administration. We expect the reflecting pool in D.C. to be lit around 5:30 Eastern time, 2:30 our time. And then this evening, you'll see a lot of Seattle landmarks, including the Space Needle lit. Coming up,
I'm Ryan Harris with why county health officials are worried they won't have second COVID vaccine doses available when they're needed.
But first, at 2:04, a Como traffic update from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Curtis Calhoun.
In Everett, both directions of Highway 527 backed open at 100th Street Southeast after a major accident investigation. All lanes are back open both directions. Looks like the backups have really thinned out as well. Northbound 405 ramp from Sunset and Renton. Looks like we still have a crash partially blocking the on-ramp. Right now, taking a look at your travel times, Linwood to Bellevue, 16 minutes. Seattle to Federal Way, 26 minutes. Your next Como traffic at 2:14.
And the Como forecast now. Let's check in with meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Fog has been very slow to clear this morning, but most locations back in sun this afternoon with a dry forecast into this evening. But we are tracking a weak front into the northwest interior tonight. It literally fizzles out right over Puget Sound, so any bit of rain is going to stay confined to areas north of Everett, including the San Juan Islands, parts of Bellingham, and even Port Angeles. A light passing shower possible tonight. Now Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Following that is going to be a shower chance on Thursday for many backyards. And it's behind that storm on Thursday, the conditions turn colder this weekend. We're talking highs potentially in the 30s, setting the stage for a rain-snow mix to develop across the lowlands Sunday through Monday of next week. And the Como Weather Center meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Sunshine, 44 degrees in Seattle. Como News Time, 2:06. There's worry that the state's new requirement to get COVID vaccines out within a week will make the second doses unreliable. Como's Ryan Harris explains.
Whether vaccine providers would still be allowed to hold back second doses under the governor's new directive is still a question Snohomish County leaders are trying to get answered. County Health Officer Dr. Chris Spitter says if they can't hold back second doses, they'll be highly dependent on a continuous flow of vaccine.
So we're at the mercy of that, and it raises concern, but it is what it is. We got to deal with it and just advocate for a better and more transparent flow of vaccine.
Spitter says so far more than 60% of the doses Snohomish County has received have been given, and they're prepared to keep giving them at 3 mass vaccination sites. But he says those are scheduled out for the week, and they can't schedule more until they know when more doses will arrive. In Snohomish County, Ryan Harris, Como News.
As our state lowers the age for COVID vaccinations now to 65, our neighbor to the south has actually raised the age limit to 80. Como's Brian Calvert continues our coverage.
The priority here is vaccinate the most vulnerable. Washington says that's our senior population. Oregon says the most vulnerable are school teachers, which is why that state will soon vaccinate all teachers regardless of age and only vaccinate seniors age 80 and up.
I was frankly horrified to see very little discussion of seniors and their vulnerability.
75-year-old Susan Crowley wonders if Oregon has done its homework properly. After all, on a worldwide scale, COVID is more deadly to seniors than any other age group.
And it's not like we have nothing to contribute, and we're being treated as though our lives are frankly worthless.
Oregon's governor defends the move, saying protecting teachers also protects kids and working families. Yet with such a disparity between the two states, there will be the temptation to cross state lines to get the vaccine. Don't be tempted. Under federal guidelines, Washington residents can only get the vaccine distributed to Washington. Brian Calvert, Como News.
The year that brought us the pandemic also saw more people in Washington State seeking health care coverage than ever before. In fact, more than 2 million residents secured coverage through Washington's Health Plan Finder. The vast majority received free or low-cost Apple health coverage, the rest enrolling in qualified health plans. The Tacoma News Tribune reports that December saw an average of 1,500 people per day enrolling in Apple Health. Exchange CEO Pam McEwen says the numbers reflect the needs of people who lost their employer-sponsored health coverage because of the pandemic. A House Legislative Committee voted this morning to approve a delay in the ban on single-use plastic bags. The law banning the bags passed nearly a year ago. It was supposed to take effect January 1st this year.
The pandemic put a crimp in those plans with major supply chain issues of the compliant paper, and a lot of stores stopped even letting people bring in their own reusable plastic bags because of the virus. Representative Mary Dye is the ranking Republican on the House Energy and Environmental Committee.
When these bans are implemented, there's a large increase in the use of reusable, and we found that the reusable bags were contaminated and potential for spreading COVID.
Democratic Representative Committee Chair Joe Fitzgibbon said nobody wanted to push out the implementation until July 1st, but the time is needed to give manufacturers and distributors of compliant bags time to catch up to demand.
This is not a good long-term solution. It makes sense while we're in the middle of this historic pandemic.
Once the new law goes into effect, single-use plastic plastic carryout bags will be banned in all retail, grocery stores, and restaurants.
Como's Carlene Johnson reporting, and an 8-cent charge will be applied for each paper bag, which must be made with at least 40% recycled content. Como News Time, 2:10. It's time for an update on sports now from the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk with Bill Swartz. What are the expectations for the 2021 Seattle Mariners?
The M's goal in 2020 was to avoid coronavirus and get a number of young players big league experience. Mariners GM Jerry Dipoto today asked whether the club has raised the expectation bar for this season.
If things break well for us and we get into midsummer and we stay close to this thing and we do have an opportunity to sneak up on the back of the playoff field, that's a possibility for us and would be a goal.
As of now, the first spring training workouts could start in mid-February. The New York Mets general manager Jared Porter was fired today for sending explicit text messages and images to a female reporter covering the Chicago Cubs in 2016. Snow, rain could affect Sunday's NFL Conference Championship football games. Green Bay hosts Tampa Bay, Buffalo at Kansas City. The website Longhorns Country reports the University of Texas will hire Washington Huskies Pete Kwiatkowski as the defensive coordinator. Texas' new head coach is the former UW head man, Steve Sarkisian. Kwiatkowski has been the Dogs' defensive architect since 2014. Sports updates at 10 and 40 after the hour. Bill Swartz, Como News.
There are fears of a possible insider attack come Inauguration Day tomorrow, and it's triggered a massive undertaking, vetting every National Guard member deployed to Washington, D.C. this week.
The screening that is being done for the inauguration will be done extremely thoroughly.
All 25,000 Guard members, including 400 from our state, will be vetted by the FBI amid fears of a potential insider attack. Retired Seattle FBI Special Agent David Gomez with what that means. He says internal database checks of case files and watch lists looking specifically for any derogatory information and possibly criminal and public credit checks. It comes after the deadly siege on the Capitol. New chilling video captured by a correspondent with The New Yorker shows rioters storming the Senate floor. A retired Air Force Lieutenant General told CNN the FBI's vetting should extend to all branches of the military, insisting while he doesn't think it's widespread, he suspects pockets of extremism.
What are you doing to suss out the potential of any extremists within your own ranks?
I understand that you have to answer that, especially when you see that there are members of certain law enforcement.
Washington State Patrol tasked with keeping our capital protected, and while there are no known threats at Olympia, he says their troopers go through rigorous background checks, psychological evaluations, extensive training, and any complaint, no matter how minor, is addressed immediately.
There is an increasing responsibility to make sure that the right people are in the right place doing the right things.
In a statement, the acting Secretary of Defense states that while there's no intelligence indicating an insider threat, quote, we are leaving no stone unturned in securing the capital. And this from the head of the Guard in D.C.
It's just another layer, and then a layer on top of that, just to be absolutely certain.
Now, despite deeming the vetting necessary, that retired officer with the Air Force says it actually isn't an insult to all those who served and are serving now that this vetting is taking place, but again, underscoring why he thinks it's important. And the Defense Department really talking about the goal here to leave no stone unturned because it's so critical that we have a peaceful transfer of power. I'm Michelle Esteban, Como News.
Como News Time 2:13. The latest on the elected official from New Mexico now, who's been charged in connection with that January 6th attack on the Capitol. ABC's Jim Ryan says the state attorney general is demanding a letter of resignation.
People are ready for fair and legal elections.
Otero County Commissioner and Cowboys for Trump co-founder Coy Griffin doesn't deny standing on the Capitol terrace during the riot, and he promised during an open meeting to return for the inauguration with two guns in his car. He apparently made good on that promise and was arrested Sunday in Washington. Now New Mexico Attorney General Hector Balderas is demanding that Griffin resign or be removed from his seat on the Otero County Commission, not just for his participation in the riot, but for failing to attend to his constituents' concerns. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Como News Time, 2:14. Time for an update on traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Curtis Calhoun.
In Renton, still dealing with the minor blocking issues. Northbound 405 ramp from Sunset. It's a crash partially blocking the ramp and causing some minor delays for drivers, not so much of a delay, more of a distraction at this point, but definitely use caution if you're traveling through that spot. Great news in Everett. It looks like both directions of Highway 527 at 100th Street back open after an earlier accident investigation. Southbound 5 seeing a little bit of light slowing around Mercer Street in Seattle. Your next Como traffic is at 224.
Our Como forecast now. Weather is going to stay pretty clear this week. There's a very slight chance of showers Thursday overnight. And then by Sunday, we could have our eyes on the potential for a snow-rain mix. It's not a blizzard by any means of that word, but we could see a couple of snowflakes here in the lowlands. We'll keep an eye on it, though, as Sunday approaches. For the next several days, just expect mostly sunny weather by afternoon, like we see right now. It took a little while to clear out from the fog and morning clouds, but the sunshine got here, didn't it? Right now in the city, 44 degrees at Como News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now the headlines are following from the Como 24/7 News Center. President-elect Joe Biden preparing to deliver a speech tonight in honor of the Americans who've lost their lives due to coronavirus. That number stands at over 400,000 now. Biden and his wife Jill arrived in D.C. earlier today, where they're going to be staying the night across the street from the White House. Biden expected to be sworn in as the nation's 46th president at the U.S. Capitol in a ceremony tomorrow, which you'll hear live right here on Como News. We won't break away from commercials for that. We won't break away for commercials for that. And the University of Washington finds that the U.S. is still on upward trajectory when it comes to potential loss of life from the coronavirus. Researchers at the UW project the country will surpass more than 556,000 deaths by May 1st. It's 216 at Como News. There's already a consequence for the 147 Republican lawmakers who tried to stop the certification of President-elect Joe Biden's victory. It hits them right in their back pocket, the war chest. At least 20 of the 30 largest corporate backers of GOP lawmakers have suspended some or all of their donations. Douglas McMillan is following it for the Washington Post. He spoke with Como's Tom Hutler.
Douglas, what kind of companies are we talking about here?
These are all very prominent big brands that you've heard of. AT&T, Comcast, Lockheed Martin are among the biggest donors to these lawmakers over the past 5 years. We've been hearing kind of a steady trickle of news, some of them coming out and saying that they're going to suspend donations to these lawmakers. But at the Washington Post, we wanted to take a kind of systematic look at this, which ones are suspending donations and which ones are not. So out of the 30, we found 20 have suspended donations to some or all lawmakers, and 10 of the 30 have not taken any specific action at this time.
Is there a way to know why the companies that have not suspended some of these donations have done so?
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing is that they said they're still evaluating. Companies like Koch Industries, Home Depot, Exxon, BNSF, FedEx, these companies said that they're still going to look at their standards of, you know, how and why they make political donations from their PAC or their political action committee groups. And, you know, they still need some time to do that. This is only you know, a couple weeks ago that this these events happened. So they were not ready to come out and make a statement yet. So we're going to keep checking with them and checking back and seeing if they change their position. But, you know, some companies like, you know, General Dynamics, the defense contractor, Charter Communications, said that they're just not taking any action and they're not responding to this. So, yeah, some different responses that we're hearing from different companies. I think that speaks to how, you know, different companies are still wrestling with the events of the past couple weeks and, you know, whether or not they're going to play a role in, you know, sending a message with the money that they give to these candidates.
These 147 lawmakers, of course, are sprinkled around the country, in some in bigger markets and bigger representing bigger areas than others. But as a general rule, how big of a financial hit do you see them taking here?
Yeah, the dollars we're talking about are pretty small in terms of the total fundraising that a politician typically does. These corporate PACs, you know, they're restricted from actually giving very much money to each individual lawmaker for each election cycle. So the dollar amounts themselves are pretty small. And what's going to be interesting is whether or not there's pressure on the other forms of fundraising for these politicians. There are, you know, larger ways, there are larger sources of funding, such as the political associations, the Republican Governors Association, lot of money to these lawmakers. And there's already starting to be on these kinds of groups and corporations that give to these groups to take an action and to spend payments that way as well. So there's also executives of these companies have really said nothing about whether they're going to suspend their personal donations. And that's another way that, you know, a company can give money to a politician. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not, you know, these other sources of funding are still available to the lawmakers, if and when they decide to run for re-election.
Douglas, thanks for sharing that with us. The entire article is available at WashingtonPost.com. Check it out from Douglas McMillan.
And that's Como's Tom Hutler. Vice President Mike Pence and the top Republican leaders in Congress will not be attending President Trump's big send-off event at Joint Base Andrews tomorrow. The vice president's office cited the logistics in getting Pence from the base in Maryland back to the Capitol in time to attend Joe Biden's inauguration. The top two Republicans in Congress, Senator Mitch McConnell and Congressman Kevin McCarthy, will also not be attending the Trump event. Como News Time 2:20. Time for our Propel Insurance Business Update. Here's Jim Chesko.
It was a positive start to the holiday shortened week, with technology shares leading today's stock market advance. The tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite rallied 198 points, while the S&P 500 gained 30, and the Dow Industrials recouped 116. Just out, quarterly results from Netflix, with the streaming giant crushing analysts' expectations regarding paid subscriber growth. In response, Netflix shares are leaping 10% in after-hours trading. Earlier, Stellantis made its Wall Street debut, taking on that new name following the completion of the $52 billion merger between automakers Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot parent PSA Group. Shares trading under ticker symbol STLA soared almost 11% on the New York Stock Exchange. Let's see your money now.
Money news at 20 and 50 past the hour. A traffic update is next.
Stay safe, Seattle. Social distancing and masks are important, but so is knowledge. Stay connected. Stay informed on all things COVID from Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and on your smart speaker. This is Como News.